From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. Starting this Saturday, outdoor gatherings of up to 100 people will be allowed in Maine. That's double the previous limit. In a written release, the Mills administration says that under the increase, no more than 5 people will be allowed per 1,000 square feet of space to ensure physical distancing. State health officials said earlier this week they were considering loosening restrictions in light of studies that show outdoor activities are safer than indoor activities. The Conservation Law Foundation is among several environmental groups that have sent a letter urging Hannaford to allow customers to use reusable bags. The foundation's John Heitz says Maine and other New England states have lifted suspension on reusable bags that were put into place at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, but some Hannaford stores still banned them.
You know, at the time we understood that this was a measure to try and protect public health, but as more information came out, it's now clear that reusable bags are not a cause for concern from a public health perspective.
Hannaford did not respond to a request for comment. About 24 current and former Maine legislators are calling on Hydro-Quebec to stop its campaign to influence November's ballot referendum on a proposed transmission line through the state. In a letter to both the company and the province of Quebec, the group says that the company should not be meddling in elections in Maine and is exploiting a loophole in state law. A ballot committee representing the company has spent more than $6 million thus far on the referendum campaign. Hydro-Quebec, which is owned by the government of Quebec, will supply power for the proposed CMP transmission line. Serge Aubergel, the director of external relations for Hydro-Quebec, disputes the letter and says the company should be able to provide information to Maine voters after spending years working to obtain permits.
And so once you want to take that away, at least give us the right to give the facts when it comes to us. And so we don't view this as a loophole at all. We're compliant to the rules, and we're just trying here to give a straight story so people can understand and make their own choices.
Aubergel also points to oil and gas companies, which recently announced they would spend $6 million in ads opposing the transmission project.
On the next Maine Calling, the controversy over wearing masks, an encore presentation. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Whether or not someone wears a face covering has become a charged topic nationwide and in Maine. In the re-airing of our earlier show, we address the medical reasons for covering your face, enforcement of mask wearing, and how masks have become a polarizing symbol. Maine Calling, Thursday at 1 and again at 7 on Maine Public Radio.
The State Revenue Forecasting Commission says the state will lose an estimated $524 million in general revenues by the end of next June as a result of the pandemic. But as Mal Leary reports, the group is less certain of its forecast than it has been in past projections.
Throughout the commission's Wednesday meeting, two words dominated: uncertainty and unprecedented. Associate Commissioner for Tax Policy Mike Allen chairs the group.
This is our best estimate given the information that we have today and the assumptions that both the Consensus Economic Forecasting Committee and other economic forecasters have made about how the pandemic is going to play out over the next 6 months to a year.
And the assumptions of the Economic Forecasting Group are major reasons for uncertainty. For example, the economic panel is assuming Congress will continue economic aid at a level of at least $1 trillion and that it includes some additional help for states and municipalities that are seeing less revenues. It also assumes more direct aid to individuals and businesses. So what Congress does or does not do will affect the estimate, as will the length and severity of the pandemic. Allen says this recession is unprecedented in that it's been caused by the pandemic and not by traditional reasons.
This recession is completely different. It's hitting the service sector harder than it is the good side of the economy. And one reason for that is all the federal stimulus that's been provided to households.
Allen says that means all the experience gained from dealing with past recessions is not helping to assess the impact of this recession. The panel's projecting cities and towns will lose about $20 million from the state because of the expected decrease in state revenues. In a statement, Governor Janet Mills says the revenue loss is a serious challenge to the state, but she's not decided how she will address the situation. She says Congress needs to pass another pandemic economic package before the state has a clearer picture of its financial resources. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
The Portland mayor and a pair of city councilors held a listening session this morning with dozens of the city's homeless population who established an encampment on the steps of City Hall. As Fred Bever reports, the goal was to try to improve communication after a week-long impasse over protesters' demands.
The occupation of City Hall Plaza has been going on for a week now, with as many as 60 people sleeping overnight in tents. When homeless protesters and advocates tried to bring their concerns to a special city council meeting earlier this week, public comment was barred. In an effort to remedy that lack of communication, city officials sat down in nearby Lincoln Park Wednesday morning for a listening session with protesters. Kristen Sark was one of several who said they felt safer at the encampment than in city-run shelters.
I've been homeless since the age of 15, and I'm still homeless. I live at the encampment, and this is the first time I've ever felt safe being homeless, because there's actually people that give a crap about us.
Sark asked why the meeting was held in the park instead of at the encampment. Mayor Kate Snyder explained that because many there are not wearing masks, she was concerned about exposing herself and her family to the coronavirus. That drew a rebuke from protester Courtney Priest.
Why are we worried about masks for one particular person when there's over 150 people that have been over there that can't get the help that they need? You're asking us to wear masks, but we don't even have basic human needs met.
Mayor Snyder was joined by councilors Jill Dusson, Spencer Thibodeau, and Fire Chief Keith Gautreaux. They listened for almost 2 hours as people lacking shelter discussed their hardships, raising children without a roof over their heads, toughing out addiction or mental health issues on the streets, rough treatment by law enforcement, and inadequate assistance from the city and state. Scott Smith calls it a tragedy that it took a high-profile occupation to get significant public attention.
It's sad that our own government, which includes you, is ignoring everybody. We shouldn't have to be tending out to make a point.
One of the protest's organizers, Jess Falero, says the homeless group has several demands before they would consider breaking up the encampment. Those include defunding law enforcement, boosting social services, establishing overdose prevention sites, decriminalizing sleeping outdoors, and extending the state's current moratorium on evictions.
I camp out because I know that this is the population that goes unseen and unheard. I know because I myself struggle with chronic homelessness. I know that even though people say they may be listening, I know that they're not.
Falero and others say the councilor's overture seemed in good faith, and so did the mayor's response to Falero's final questions. Could she look into opening up some public bathrooms closer to City Hall? And
is there a way to disable the bell in City Hall?
Oh, good question.
That is really loud.
Extremely loud. The clock tower, yeah, I can ask about that.
Afterwards, Snyder told the media it was a fruitful meeting. She promised to advocate for an extension on the current moratorium on evictions, but otherwise did not commit to support any particular demand. Asked what struck her as most compelling in the meeting, Snyder said it was hearing about the challenge of raising children while homeless.
I mean, for me as a mom, hearing...
Overcome with emotion, Snyder stepped away from the microphones and Fire Chief Gautreaux stepped in.
They were all compelling, you know, and to sit there and just turn your mouth off and turn your ears on and listen... was what needed to happen.
the city officials shied away from estimating a timeline for when they'd like to see the encampment break up. Both sides did agree to meet again, but for public safety reasons, City Hall remains closed. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 for a look at the controversy over face coverings. I'm Ed Morin.